Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
That's Jack Butella for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy property for half of what it's worth and resell it the very next day. Get there first. Great information and instruction from Jack. That's me.
And inspiration from Jill. That's me.
Here's some funny stuff that happened to us recently.
Why is it the best sushi we find is in the desert?
Oh my gosh, come up with this stuff. It's brilliant.
Have you noticed this? We are having difficulty.
We go back and forth between Los Angeles and Scottsdale. And leaps and bounds, there's better sushi here in Arizona.
I can't figure it out. So A, I wanted to make my point, which is that. And B, I want to ask anybody in the South Bay, hey, shoot me an email, please, because I don't know where to go. I'm clearly not finding it.
We have a great business idea for you. Put it on a conveyor belt, and it's kind of like auctioning food off.
It's true.
It's like auctioning dinner. You just can't stop yourself from pulling stuff off that sushi conveyor belt.
I know. I just have yet to find it.
It's a call to action.
It is. It's rolling right by you. That's maybe why we tell everybody, put your property out there everywhere, because someone, you know, it's rolling right by them. Someone's going to grab it off the conveyor belt.
And if you really need to sell it and don't care what the price is, auction it off.
There you go. It will sell.
That's a very acute perception. I didn't think about that.
Thank you.
Fish in the desert.
What the heck? We used to make jokes about it. We're like, oh, are we crazy? We should not be eating any kind of seafood here in the desert. We're pretty far from the ocean. Not that far, but so here we are in California. I'm like, why am I not finding? I can find good fish, but I can't find, I mean, sushi specifically. So,
man, that's a good question.
Thank you.
In this episode, Jill and I talk about why our members love mixed mailers and what they are. Jill, great show today. Before we start, let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Aaron asks, similar to Land Academy member Luke, I'd be interested to hear how you're approaching a mixed mailer. Nice. I'm interested in doing the same, but I haven't quite figured out the optimal logistics. Would love to hear more about your approach there.
Hey, so it turns out I have the answer on this, Jill.
Oh.
So here's a regular mailer. A mixed mailer is when you send a large mailer out, several thousand offers to property owners that you've identified, but you mix it up. So you mix it maybe between two different, for houses, it's different subdivisions. For land, it'll be different counties. And, you know, you mix it all up. And what's the benefit to that? Well, you're going to get if you do it right, you'll get the same response rate, which is buy a piece of land for every about 100 letters that you send out. It's usually about a little bit better than that, but we're conservative. And for houses, it's if you do it right, you'll buy a house for every 2,000 or less offers you send out. So why is it a mixed mailer even better? Well, let's say you pick 5 subdivisions instead of one. You got a few, don't do this right in the beginning. But you got your feet wet, you've turned a few deals, let's say maybe 8-10 properties, and you've got the logistics worked out, and you know what's going to happen when the people call back, and on. You got all that worked out, you want to do a mixed mailer. So it really dramatically increases the sellability of the property, because you have different property. Hey, would you rather have five simple 5-acre properties in the exact same county, right next to each other, which can happen? Would you rather have 5 different properties in 5 counties that you can post, and they're completely different, they look different, and you're appealing to 5 different types of buyers instead? Mm-hmm. So it's really, 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 it's a step 3 situation. It's not a step 1 situation, but it works. And that's actually, frankly, that's what we do here. We don't send just one mailer out.
Mm-hmm. I love it too, because it helps you identify different areas, you might go, oh, this area is really great for this type of property over here. I'm going to circle back around and do more in this area, you know, so it's a good way to do that also.
The other thing that you can do, which really helps, and there's a subgroup in our Land Academy for our pro members, where you jump, you ride on, and that's what I think really Aaron's getting here, because we know Aaron and Luke. They are jumping on each other's mailers, so Luke might be the master mailer, and some of the other members might add on 1,000 units of their own and put it all into one mailer, and because the mailer is so large now, you get a cheaper rate, and you get the experience of the person that's, you know, and this is, in this case, it's Luke's very experienced at sending these mailers out. Not as much as we are, but very experienced. And, you know, there's a good chance it's not going to get done incorrectly first time out of the box. So jumping on somebody else's bandwagon that's a little bit smarter than or more experienced than you are. Hey, that's what Land Academy is. Exactly. Jump on our bandwagon.
That's our new slogan. Jump on our bandwagon. Wait. Jump on our bandwagon as we ride on the social media or the advertising tales of somebody else.
Let's see if we can roll in like 6 more cliches.
Let's see with our...
And don't fall off the bandwagon. Don't fall off the wagon.
Don't fall off the wagon. Wait, and work on your beach bank balance.
And don't burn the bridge when you come to it.
There we go. Love it.
Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816, or maybe even just have a good joke you want us to share. We'll give you credit.
Yeah, please.
Today's topic is our members love mixed mailers, and here's why. This is the meat of the show. Well, we kind of already described it. Mixed mailers really diversify. When is diversification bad, Jill? Never.
Diversification is bad at the same time that too much data is bad.
You diversify and spread out your risk and buy different kinds of property instead of all like kind property. There's a lot of different ways to go. Some of our members, they just love work in one area forever because they get to know everybody in the county. They get to know all the buyers in the area. And so there's nothing wrong with that either. But if you really want to expand the amount of business that you're running through your business there, you have to spread out. And doing a mixed mailer is, again, it's step 3 or 4. It's not the step 1. But once you figure it all out, it's a great thing.
I like when someone is, you know, doing a good job advertising and they're all over the place and they're driving traffic to their website. And then when you pull up their website and, like you're just saying, they have a variety of different things. Yeah. They might have a beautiful 2-acre cabin property, and then they have a 5-acre over here, and then they have a 3-acre over here, and then a 1-acre in the middle of something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best because you... Then, and it makes, I think it's easier. All you gotta do is just, your goal is to drive people to your website. And then from there, let them shop. You know, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, the fastest way to do that is, because everybody has to start somewhere. We've all started with one property, all of us. So if you, let's say, buy a 20-acre property in Northern Nevada, you get it out on LandWatch, Zillow, Trulia, all over the place. Now, you're jumping on their back, the website's back, using their SEO. And customers are going to start looking at that property, and then you're going to drive them back to your own stuff. Mm-hmm. One property at a time, you build it up. And you should be jumping on the back of people like Land Academy and Land Watch and everything else to get there as fast as you can get.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is the if-then segment of the show. If you do X, then Y will happen. If you logically mail out offers to more than one county or subdivision at a time, then... you will buy different properties at the same time, which sell at the same time. So you have multiple transactions going on at the same time. And now you're making 2 to 3 to 4 times the money within the same time frame. Jill, is that clear?
What?
Is it too, sorry. Is it I'm too sorry. Complicated?
Sorry, my nail's right here. Oh my what? Gosh. Just kidding.
No, so if you have different properties, you got, now your phone's ringing off the hook because you've got, if you have one property in 5 completely different markets, houses or land or whatever, now your phone's ringing off the hook. You got 5 separate buyers. You're attracting 5 separate buyers and you're selling 5 properties at the same time. Mm-hmm. That is how it becomes, let's move out of the basement operation and into an office because...
Can't keep up.
Yeah.
You've hired your sister. Now you're hiring your mom. You know, we've seen our members do that. You know, they got their kids, you know, cooking the dinners now. So that happens.
All good problems to have.
It really is.
Hey, if you have any questions or you want to be in the show, call 800-725-8816. Jill, my favorite part of the show, do you have some inspiration for us?
Quote, there is always room at the top. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
But you know who said it first?
Yes, I have.
Seriously?
Yeah, I've heard it. All right, at the top, too.
Well, no, who do you think said it? This is even more fun. Who do you think said it?
Let me guess. Cher.
Oh, my goodness. How about a U.S. senator from the 1800s? I'm not kidding.
How is being a senator at the top? That's the bottom.
I think it's cool. Daniel Webster, who was a U.S. senator in the 1800s and was also of the state of Massachusetts, in case anybody's checking my facts, he was also the 14th and the 19th Secretary of State. Said that. There's always room at the top. So,
isn't
you know,
a dictionary guy, isn't he?
No relation.
Oh, okay.
No relation. So, no, that would have popped right up.
He's probably British or something.
Yeah.
Now I got to look stuff up.
Now we got to look more stuff up. But, okay, so here's my inspiration and why I brought up that quote. People think that, it's already full. The top is full. There's already all these people up there. What could I possibly bring to the table?
Nothing's permanent.
Oh, maybe all the money's already gone and allocated. No, it's not. There's always room at the top. Whatever you want to do, bring it. However big you want to get, bring it. There is room.
And everything changes all the time. So, what was cool 2 years ago is not cool now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, half-price property never goes out of style, but how you present it might.
Mm-hmm.
Or where you contact your buyers has. Geez, when I started, 1999, I'm not going to sound like an old man. You know, eBay just started. You know, Google was not existent. This is in my ebook, the first part of the ebook. So things have really, really changed now. The way that you sell a property is what I call what we used to call a press release.
Mm-hmm.
You announce it all over these venues that are these already established venues for you. Yep. And that's how you sell it fast. Same thing with houses.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. The old days. I have picked up properties where some of the owners of the properties still had like an old file from like the 60s, and it is exactly what you're saying. And mm-hmm. I should actually publish that on our website because there's some cool stuff to see. But they have the ads showing the people. You know, it's like a cartoon drawing of the golfing and uh-huh. what the subdivision's going to look like someday. You know, when they were selling it back then, and that's how they did it. And it was it's so cool to see.
It is.
And it's so different now. You know, and I think what was really cool too is and I think that's part of what attributed to our growth so quickly was you started this, Jack, when people didn't know you could buy property online.
Yeah. And how cheap it was. Mm-hmm. You know, we still sell property to people that how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's so cheap. What's wrong with it?
Right. I remember when people would say, what do you mean you bought a car on eBay, you know, or sold a car or something like that. I think more and more people are now realizing that can happen.
Well, this is a whole additional, it's a whole new generation now.
Yeah.
You know, this is years, decades ago that we started this and it's, you know, we're still right there up front.
Mm-hmm.
They just buy stuff differently.
And you know, the one thing that I've learned over the years, that the main thing is you just have to roll with it. If you think you're going to dig your heels in and say, hey, I've always run an ad in the Penny Saver, how that tells people something right there about me.
I was that guy.
I've always run an ad in the Penny Saver or the little coffee news. They still have the coffee news and the dry cleaners. I'm not changing.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, things might move past you then and you might, yeah.
I was that guy for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to believe that the world was moving forward and that there was only one way to sell property was on eBay, and that was silly.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're doing great.
Exactly.
Buying it never changed. It will. How we buy property will change, I guarantee it.
Well, there's already some changes how we buy it, you know, and stuff. It gets easier and easier. I love it.
I had a conversation with a guy recently. This is there is room at the top because mm-hmm. it's always changing. That's the point. But I had a conversation with somebody recently. We were laughing because I hear this more and more from wholesale house guys. You know, it's just not like it used to be. And what they're saying is, during the downturn, you could buy a house for $10,000 from a bank who foreclosed on it. And it was easy. It was posted on the internet, and they're lazy. What they're saying is, hey, I'm really stupid, Steve. So I was laughing with my buddy about this because we're killing it buying houses all the time.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, it just, I don't know.
It wasn't the kind of the point where I love it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, you were there.
I know. I think the point too was, so what if the margins, so what if the dollar amounts changed, the margins didn't change? He's like, what's the big deal?
Great. Right. So we used to pay $80,000 and make $150,000. Now we pay $190,000 and we make $220,000.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the same dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not necessarily the same percentage, but it's the same good use of resources, money, and time.
Mm-hmm.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
Get there first. Good show, Jill.
Yeah, that was a fun...
I thought Prince said that or something. There's always room at the top. Not a senator.
You know...
If you're a senator and you're listening to this show, stop it.
Hey, thank you for bringing up Prince because, you know, I think I... Does he have some quotes?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he does. Seriously? Sure, like, so
are they appropriate quotes?
I think one of them's F. Sony.
Oh. Well, I won't use that quote, but I think that would be fun for another show. Maybe I'll go look up something inspirational about a musician and maybe like Prince or Bowie or something. I think that would be really cool.
I don't want to be at the top anyway. Do you?
No, I want to be, you know what? I want to be just below the top.
That's what
not
I want.
Not enough where where all the attention's
exactly,
on me.
Exactly. That's what I want.
But just enough that I can kind of pretty much do whatever I want.
If you're at the top, you've got everybody's watching what you're doing.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Do not want to be number one at all.
You want to be with your own flair, but a little below the radar.
Yeah. You remember when we used to say that we used to want to be totally under the radar? Well, that went away. That didn't work.
There's a time, I guess, to be completely under the radar, too.
Oh, well, you know, we do that sometimes.
You know, you're a pilot. Can you fly? Can you fly under the radar?
Of course you can.
How does that work?
I mean, there's turn things off.
So, I mean, do you really at an altitude?
Okay, define what
altitude?
You're talking about.
How do you get off a radar? Oh. When you're in a plane, flying an airplane,
well,
how do
you
get off the radar?
You do have instruments that are on, period. But, like, we all know planes that have gone MIA, they have turned things off. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right, so there's a radar, though, like at an airport. How do you fly below that radar?
You can turn things off.
So the radar is detecting your instruments?
Yes. There's a.
I thought it was detecting.
It's a whole nother show.
Oh, okay.
So
we got to get to the root of.
That's a good point, though. What is the? Who came up with that quote?
There's a lot of cliche slinging, and I've gotten some interesting comments about that. Most of them are like this: "Can you please stop using so many cliches? You idiot." But I think
it's endearing.
I think
you know, Jack, you know what, Jack, that's you.
You know why they say that is because they're probably writers. And as writers, the talk is this: if you use a cliche, then you're just being lazy. You really should be able to describe yourself better than that and more concisely and on and on and on. I'm just here to get the message out, man.
Do you want to know something funny about that?
I don't want to complicate stuff.
My mom used to say that's why that you shouldn't swear, because that it made you look less knowledgeable.
Oh, I don't need any help with that.
I know.
I look less
she would
knowledgeable
say,
already without,
no,
without bad language.
Because if you're just using the same effing whatever word and da da da, that was her way of saying don't swear because that makes you look not as smart. You know, if you should be able to come up with some words, and so that. I don't know. It stuck with me.
You know what? That's probably good advice to tell your kids when they're little, for sure.
Exactly.
Don't swear.
I know. So you know what? I don't, but boy, my kids do. But they don't do it in front of me. They know that, and if they do, they catch themselves, and I appreciate that.
Why do you cut me so much slack on that then?
Oh, you're baked. It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
Hopeless.
Yeah.
Let's go buy something for half price today and resell it. Jack and Jill, information and inspiration.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-4000. 0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.